We're doing Jewish history, and we were learning about the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We had described, the last time we had described about how they had fought the desire for idol worship. The spectacular Gemara in Tractate Sanhedrin, which defined for us the verses in the Navi and the prophet Zechariah, which describe how somehow, some Kabbalistic way, they took down the desire for idol worship. Many times we discussed the interpretation of the Chatam Sofer, who says that they overcame the desire for idol worship by institutionalizing prayer. When people could connect to Hashem from their own homes three times a day, so then they no longer had that need to erect altars and do sacrifices. That was the Chatam Sofer's interpretation. Now we move forward in describing their institutions. Now, one thing that he will not discuss here is a discussion also in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Talmud discusses, did Ezra change the script of the Torah? The Torah, there's a verse over there that according to some opinions, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people that the script of the Torah would change. What would it change to? So some suggest that the first set of tablets were given with the script that we use today. The second set of tablets, which were those that would remain, were given with the ancient script, what we call Hebrew script, Ktav Ivri. And there is a machloket, there is a disagreement among the Tanaim, the sages of the Mishnah, as to whether during the first temple period the Torah scrolls were written in the script that we use today, what we call in Talmudic terms Ktav Ashurit, Assyrian script, or did they use Ktav Ivri, what researchers might call the ancient Hebrew script. What were they using to write the Sifrei Torah? So some want to say, well, archaeologists are only finding things written with the ancient script from the first temple period. That doesn't prove anything. That only proves that the laymen, the common folk, were using that script. But that, that still doesn't tell us what was being done in the Beit HaMikdash, wherever they were actually using the Sifrei Torah. Remember that things were not so organized yet in terms of Torah readings. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted some Torah readings, but it could very well be that in the temple they were using the Assyrian script, and outside people were on their own writing things in the Hebrew script, just as the Sadducees continued doing into the Second Temple and destruction of the Second Temple era. So you definitely have common folk who are using the modern script or the ancient Hebrew script to write their Torah scrolls. The question is, what did the rabbis say you're supposed to do? What was being done in the Beit HaMikdash? So here we have two opinions in the Tanoic period. Some rabbis say, now remember, the Tanoic period that's discussing it was only a few centuries away. We'll get to questions in a minute. So, who's discussing it? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Shimon, the rabbis who are discussing it, they lived much closer to the time period than we do. If we are trying to figure out from archaeology, they had a pretty good handle on what was going on. So, the rabbis of the Mishnah had a discussion. What was being done during the first temple period? Were they using our script in the Beit HaMikdash and in their official Torahs? Or were they using the Hebrew script? If they were using the Hebrew script, then Ezra was the one who would change to the script that we use today, the Ktav Ashurit. And the rabbis had a tradition that this was supposed to happen. Meaning from the day we left Egypt, we were told that we would have a second ascent into the land of Israel. When we sang the song Az Yashir, so part of that song says, Ad Ya'avor Amcha Hashem, Ad Ya'avor Amzukanita. We sing about the time the Jews will pass into the land of Israel, your nation Hashem. We sing about the time they will pass into the land of Israel, this nation you've created. So why do we speak twice about the ascent to Israel? Our tradition is that they were told already when they left Mitzrayim, when they left Egypt, that they would have a second descent into Israel. They knew that. And that's why when they sanctified the land of Israel, when they gave Kedusha to the land of Israel, to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, and to the Beit HaMikdash, to the temple itself, we have a discussion throughout Talmud. Did the rabbis give a sanctification that could not be undone when conquered by the enemies? Meaning it's understood that Shlomo HaMelech and Yoshua, when they sanctified the land of Israel or the Jerusalem or the Beit HaMikdash, they were calculating that centuries down the road, this would be taken from us. Why were they calculating that? Because they already knew that. From the time we left Mitzrayim, they knew that. So the Talmud brings differing opinions as to whether the sanctity, the holiness they gave to the land of Israel, to Jerusalem, to the Beit HaMikdash, was it sanctity that could be undone when conquered by the enemies, or could not be undone? The same discussion exists about the Second Temple period, because we already learned that they knew, the prophets already told them, that when they're ascending for the second Beit HaMikdash, that too would be finite. That too would ultimately be destroyed. So then when you have a re-sanctification by Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly of the Beit HaMikdash and Jerusalem, again you have the calculation, do we do it in a way that can never be undone? That's a discussion again in Talmud, and around that revolves the question of is the Temple Mount holy today? Are we obligated to tithe biblically today, rabbinically today? All our mitzvot atluyot baretz, the mitzvot that pertain to the fruit of the land, well, these are all in question mark. How obligated are we to do it? Is it biblical, rabbinic? Is it a good custom? Well, what are we doing when we tithe here in Israel? That goes back to that question. So coming back to here, they had a tradition from Moshe, they had a prophecy from the days of Moshe, that ascending into Israel would ultimately be undone, that they would ultimately be exiled. Now comes the question, did they also have a tradition from Moshe that when they ascend into Israel a second time, they would have a new alphabet or not? That is two opinions among the rabbis of the Mishnah. Was it Ezra that changed the script? Or was this script, the Assyrian script, what we call Ktav HaShurit, our modern day script, around all the way from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, the men of the Great Assembly definitely institutionalized much of what we have today. Whether they made the great change or not, they institutionalized a lot of things. Let's just enumerate a few. Number one, he writes, Chiluk HaPsukim, dividing the text into set verses. That's what the Gemara says in Tractate Megillah, that it's recorded in the book that they call Nehemiah, we call it Ezra. It's recorded that they sat and analyzed the text of Torah. And the Pasuk describes many words about how they learned the text of Torah. So the Talmud says each word there tells you something else that they institutionalized. One word means they set it up into psukim. The next word means they gave you the cantillation notes. That was organized in the period of Ezra, the tune with which we read the Torah, what's called Te'amim. So that's what he's writing here. The men of the Great Assembly, he's skipping over the point I just made about whether they switched the script or not. He says they arranged the division of verses. Vikri viktiv, when we have sometimes a tradition that a word is written in the text but we don't read it, or sometimes a word is not written in the text but we do, we interject it. That's a tradition we have. It started with them. Male chaser, sometimes a word is written missing a letter, like the word Yerushalayim, that except for five places, it's missing the final yud. It's written as Yerushalayim. It's missing the yud in the end. Yerushalayim is not written with that final yud. Uptuchot vistumot. We know that we have the letters Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chaf, five letters that will sometimes appear at the end of the word, they appear one way. The mem at the end of a word is closed. It's a closed box. The mem in the middle of a word is an open box, right? That's what's called ptuchot stumot. The letters that change their form depending on whether they're written in the middle or the end of the word. Throughout the Torah, we have many, many, many letters that should be written bigger than the rest of the script or smaller than the rest of the script. Right? We know in Shema Yisrael, the Ayin is big. The Dalit is big. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Dalit is big. That's a tradition going back to that time period. V'tamim, and the tune, the cantillation notes. V'nekudot, he says, our vowel system dates back to the men of the Great Assembly. And this is what he has to say about the text. More to be discussed as we go on. There were questions here. Just a second. Yes.
There's only a possible difference in the way of writing, not in the content.
Correct. Correct. That's still very major, to change the script of a Torah. Yes, Gilad. Okay. Okay, yeah.
I don't understand how this concept of change Torah, possibility of Torah, fit with the concept of Rambam saying Torah don't change. We have to accept
it. So I precluded that. I said that they had a tradition from Moshe, from the verse, that it would change. Meaning if Moshe told them, look, you guys are going to do your circumcisions in the desert this way, and when you enter the land of Israel, you're going to add a component to how you do your circumcisions. So that's written in the text. So then when Yeshua introduced what we discussed last week, or 2 weeks ago, the priya, the removal of the membrane that's under the foreskin, he's not changing the mitzvah of Bris Milah. He's fulfilling what Moshe told them all along would change. So if they had a tradition that there would come a time when the script would change, which is what the Talmud is saying, the Talmud gives you the verse, so then that's not, I didn't change anything. If Moshe Rabbeinu told me that it will change, so that's part of adhering to Moshe. That's the basic answer. There's more to be said, but we're really exploring this topic in our Friday class of the Ran. So that will also shed light on this concept.